Welcome to the Danny Klinkscale Reasonably Irreverent Podcast. Insightful and witty commentary, probing interviews, and detours from the beaten path.
Oh yeah, that's the sound we like to hear as we are getting prepared. Usually we do that to open the second segment, but we have a little special treat, a little special shout out. Wanted to get the beer poured properly. So that's how we start this particular edition of Thirsty Thursday, Sense and Nonsense. Great to be back. We've been on a good schedule. Joe has gotten some beer on his fact check, but that's all right. The fact check, of course, is a very important aspect of Thirsty Thursday, Sense and Nonsense. If you haven't been aboard for that, I don't know why you wouldn't have, but we're always glad to be back talking about the facts of the past, some regular musings that we have. Oh, Monday Musings, that's my sports podcast on Monday. And we do a little sports, we do a little music, we do a little growing up, we do a little driving, we do a little bit of everything, and we certainly rate beers. We sort of did it in a more offhand way for a while. Now we officially do a couple beer ratings every single time out, so we're going to start with, I'm not going to tell you till after the second segment. Joe's got the fact check ready. I don't think he spilled enough on it so that he can't read it. He's got it all typed out nice and neat. We'll see. Generally, we do pretty good on our facts. That's why we bring you everything from, I always bring this up because we talked about it so often, the Pony Express to wars of the past to cars of the 50s, TV shows. About the only thing I get wrong on a regular basis is I always think something was more close to the present than it generally was. If I say 1999, it was usually 1989. All that kind of plays into the mix on Thirsty Thursday, Sense and Nonsense, and we will get it rolling coming up next, and you'll find out what beer number one is.
More of Danny's Reasonably Irreverent podcast after this.
Cinematic Visions has been an affordable solution for professional media production in Kansas City since 2003, offering award-winning video production and creation, as well as a wide array of digital and social media management services. From planning, scripting, filming, editing, and post-production, to delivering your product to a watching world, Cinematic Visions will provide professional and affordable services for you and your business with the necessary return on investment to make it all worthwhile. Cinematic Visions' goal is to unlock the power of storytelling through video and a strong online presence for your company. Beyond the numbers, they want to inspire and evoke your clients to feel and act. Let my friends at Cinematic Visions embed your brand where it belongs, in your customers' minds. You can find them online at cinematicvisions.com or with a quick phone call at 816-600-6300.
Let's take a little time to make you feel better, maybe a whole lot better. Danny here to tell you that is certainly the case for me since I started seeing Dr. Brad Woodle and his talented team at Advanced Sports and Family Chiropractic and Acupuncture. With locations all around the metro area, you can easily find an office that is very convenient for you. I have benefited greatly from regular adjustments, acupuncture, decompression table, and cold laser, and my back is 100% better. In a welcoming and enjoyable environment, Advanced Sports and Family Chiropractic and Acupuncture gives you relief from pain that manifests itself in many ways. It's not just your back that can be the focus. For instance, research shows that spinal manipulation therapy, SMT, a centerpiece of chiropractic care, can be considered an effective treatment for tension headaches. And SMT provides superior relief for pain intensity, frequency, and disability when compared with other therapies. That's just another example of the wide range of services at ASFCA to improve your well-being and quality of life. Find out much, much more at asfca.com/Danny and start feeling better soon. If you'd like to join these and other great sponsors and market your business to a growing and engaged audience, contact us at Danny@DannyKlinkscale.com. Look forward to hearing from you.
All right, Danny, we're back. What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
You know, I'm all right.
We are ready.
It's been a long day already.
Me too. I've been flying around hither and yon, and that's and one of the hithers was Lawrence, Kansas, as we picked up a growler of the Citradelic Citrus IPA, and it is a wonderful product.
From 23rd Street Brewery, and it's pretty neat. You said you brought a growler. I expected to see a glass bottle. This is a crowler. So it's a can.
Yes,
they can on site.
They just think it's a better way to preserve the beer. You're bringing back a growler in the past to wash it out. Maybe there wasn't as sanitary as good. I haven't tasted it yet. And this is a new. I got three of them. I got the Crimson Fog, and I got another one as well. 23rd Street Brewery, of course, at 23rd and Castle in Lawrence. And I had a wonderful lunch there today. Also, I had a spicy veggie flatbread, but I added chicken.
Okay.
And then had avocado on it.
So it's like a pizza.
Yeah, and that was delicious. And then I had the mac and cheese.
Ooh.
The Bill Self.
You had mac and cheese?
Bill Self mac and cheese. Well, I had a little bit of it, and I got plenty left, let me tell you.
What makes it Bill Self mac and cheese?
Well, that's the name of it. They haven't.
Well, I know, but what makes it Bill Self?
I don't know. I think Bill Self decided to. No, you know what? This isn't the Bill Self. Bill Self does a different product, and now I can't. And it's a much more elaborate one. This was just the straight mac and cheese, so I take that back.
Okay, this doesn't have lobster in it or
no,
and bacon.
Yeah,
or...
and the Bill Self. Yeah, go in there and find out what the Bill Self menu item is. But you know, Brian Haney has a menu item, mm-hmm. and there's a couple.
Is there a clink scale item?
There's
on
not
there?
A clink scale yet.
Ooh, we might have to talk to Llewellyn about that.
I think that Matt knows that my reputation is of person who doesn't like to eat hearty.
Yeah, well, he could have like some, amuse bouge one bite thing that he names after you or something.
It's come and gone and may come back at some point, but they used to have the best ahi tuna appetizer. Saran Petro used to get that too. And just huge amount of delicious raw ahi tuna and avocado. Anyway, it's a great restaurant, but if you haven't been there, their beers are great. By the way, I'm going to taste this one, which I haven't yet.
It's pretty good.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's really good.
You know, and somehow, just by circumstance, because it was in my refrigerator, this isn't ice cold.
I know.
And I
it's
think
probably
that's
a good thing.
The perfect temperature to taste it. Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
That's going to reach 8. I'm deciding which one.
Complex.
Mm-hmm. It's citrusy. It even said on the description that they stressed the fact that there was not a bitterness to it, and that certainly is accurate. Really good.
It's hoppy. It's very hoppy, but not bitter.
Boy, that's good. Anyway, one thing I always wanted to say to people, because Americans do like a nice big plate of food.
Uh-huh.
And when you go to the 23rd Street Brewery, you get
it does not disappoint.
Lots of food. You will if you don't take food home, you are one massive eater or or three people.
You're
eating.
Listen,
the food.
Listener, if you don't bring food home, Danny just called you a fat ass.
It's somewhat. You let's put it this way: you are mighty full.
Yeah.
After your meal at the 20, but they have this vast menu, all kinds of, and it isn't really just beer food. Too, you mentioned frou-frou. Not that they have frou-frou dishes, but they have really restaurant quality type of dishes that are different from what quote unquote bar food. So they're a great sponsor. They've been with me since the outset, just like some of my other great sponsors, like Easton Roofing and others. And appreciate Matt Llewellyn. He's a great guy, and it's always good to see him. And boy, we've got some good beer to enjoy.
Yeah,
What are you gonna
rate this thing?
I'm going to give it another sip is what I'm going to do first.
You're not going to have much left over there.
You know, usually we have a bottle or a can, and this time we're drinking out of a glass, and that is dangerous. Is that growler empty?
No, there's a little more.
Oh,
for
good.
Well,
that's good. That's a good thing. That's going to be important. I'm going 8.4. This is really good to
good
me.
Good for you.
I don't consider, to me, this isn't even that hoppy. I get the citrus, but it's not overwhelming. So I'm a happy man. Now that I think about it, one of the other growlers I got is a watermelon IPA.
Ooh.
And I'm looking forward to that.
This is the best 23rd Street Brewery beer I've ever had.
Well, there you go.
I think this is right up my alley. I'm going to go maybe like 8-1 on this
thing.
There
you go.
Which is high praise on this podcast.
Right. And I'm, hey, I'd be honest. Matt appreciates honesty. No, I mean, they have a wide line of beers.
Uh-huh.
If I didn't think it was up to standard, he'd want to hear that.
This is a keeper, Matt, if you're listening.
I think so, too. And it's a good flavorful taste as we waltz our way into the fact check, sir.
Yeah, our first fact, we talked last time about how remarkable it was, how many people listen to this podcast. And I think it's quite a few, isn't it, Danny?
Oh, it
is. We were
quite
talking
a few.
About ratings. I think it's you're in the tens of thousands a month of downloads, right?
That is correct. And the start of this year has really been great. I have had weeks that were three times higher than what I used to consider a good week.
Yeah.
So thanks,
everybody. Thanks for tuning in to listen to us. Bullshit.
People are listening. Danny at DannyKlinkscale.com. Oh, by the way, we had a prize winner.
We're
gonna play some golf. We're gonna play some golf coming up on a Sunday. After we're done, I want to firm
Get
up
that
a
on
date
the schedule.
And so today, just because in honor of 23rd Street Brewery, hit me up. I'll pick a couple, three of you, and we can have some 23rd Street Brewery gift certificates.
Yes, there you go.
So hit me up right there, Danny at DannyKlinkscale.com.
Speaking of golf. Buddy, I played golf three times since we last.
Wow, I played golf nunce since.
I played once at Tiffany Greens up north. Isn't that what it's called up there?
Yes.
Oh, my God, it's the hardest golf course I've ever played. It's insane. It's insane.
Well, folks, that is the voice of a hacker. I like Tiffany Greens. It is where I met my wife.
Oh, really?
It's where the senior PGA championship was played for a few years.
There you go. I remember that story from your book.
But I will say this, of the upscale public courses in the Kansas City area, Tiffany Greens is the course that I would tell someone, if you want to shoot your best score, you go to Tiffany Greens. I think it's the easiest upscale public golf course.
Well, I haven't played a bunch of upscale places, so... The fairway, there's not a flat spot in the fairway. I was constantly hitting the ball over my feet, which is just a nightmare for me.
Well, there are some slopes, but you know, if you hit the ball in the middle of the fairway, it's flat.
Oh, damn it, Danny, that's the problem. You know I don't do that.
Well, here's my description of it. It is a very pleasing, drivable golf course. You've got room to drive the golf ball. There's only a little bit of water that comes into play. It's in good condition usually, great people up there. But hey, you're listening to Joe. He's what, 25-ish handicapper.
That's right.
So maybe that would be hard, but you've played it at a couple other spots too.
I did. Up there was just a nightmare, but I played really well at, Painted Hills? Is that the one?
Yes. That's a nice little course in Kansas.
It's not as nice as Tiffany Greens by any stretch of the imagination.
It's a country, old country style golf course in a neighborhood right out near Kansas City, Kansas Community College.
Yep.
And
were very nice. Oh, the greens are in great shape.
They're really, really nice people. It's not a very long golf course, but it's made to seem a little bit longer because there are painted hills.
Yeah.
There are quite a few hills there. I made a hole in one there once.
On one, I chipped in into the cup out of the rough.
Nice.
From about 30 probably. It was awesome.
For a
par.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. I've never chipped a ball from that far away and had it go in. It might as well be a hole-in-one for me. Okay, nobody cares about my golf game. But it's been fun, and you've been the inspiration to get me back on the golf course, Danny.
And you texted me and said, so the more you get out there, the more fun you have, the more you enjoy it.
Yeah, it's infected me again. Okay, time for the fact check. Last time, we talked about Lamar's donuts, because we were talking about donuts, right?
And Lamar's makes a wide variety of donuts. We talked about the Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, Krispy Kreme, not our best, right? But I love Lamar's donuts. I think it's the best donut in the world. It was founded here in Kansas City in 1960. He opened a little donut shop in Midtown, Kansas City, in an old gas station on Linwood.
Is he Lamar?
It is, yeah. His name was Ray Lamar.
Hedley Lamar?
I don't know that name.
That's the guy in Blazing Saddles.
That
Harvey Korman played.
Okay. Anyway, they do it the same now as they did back then. They mix the dough by hand, and then they cut it by hand, and then they deep fry the donuts. I mean, they still do it all by hand. They're now based in Denver, Colorado, and they've got locations in like 10 states and growing. So super cool. Kansas good. City
good for,
success story,
good
right?
for Lamar's. I think my best, we've told too many donut tales. I'm not telling any more right now.
It's okay. All right. Danny, speaking of donuts, said that he had gained 27 pounds in 2 weeks.
That's correct.
So I looked to try to find out if that's physiologically possible to gain that much weight that quickly. And I went, I looked and looked and looked to try to find some information that would back up your claim as possible, okay? So most places say that 4 to 5 pounds is the most that any human being can gain in a week, okay? But I did find up one place that said in extreme situations you can gain 4 to 5 pounds in a day, but most of it's water weight. So is it possible that maybe you only gain, say, maybe it was 4 weeks and you gained 27 pounds?
Well, I worked at this particular place where I talked about the story where I had to go get the donuts. That was 2 weeks. I worked at a deli over Christmas once, and that was more like 3.5 to 4 weeks. And I, let's just say each time I definitely gained over 20 pounds.
Wow. Well, then you're a freak of nature.
I'm telling you, I could, not anymore, but I could still up until 2015. 14, 15, around cancer time, if somebody told me, you have to gain 20 pounds fast, you have to, you know, look like a fat ass for a movie role or something like that, I could do it. I could.
You got to look like a fat ass, huh? So politically correct to you. That's two fat shaming things so far just in this podcast,
Danny.
Shaming
myself.
some self-shame.
These guys, you know, who gain weight for movie roles. And, you know, geez, that must be so... Guys are in really good shape. That sounds like fun, but I guess no.
The hard part's getting it back off. Like, that would be hard.
Right. Absolutely.
We talked about you chewing gum when you played golf, and I was talking about a certain coach, and you had taken it to some Premier League coach. I was thinking of Carroll in... Seattle's Seahawks.
Right. Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll, yeah. I couldn't think of the first name either. He just murders
Thomas Frank
that gum.
Thomas Frank is the... Yeah, and it is Pete Carroll. I never thought of him chewing gum. I'll tell you what, Thomas Frank works the gum more than Pete Carroll.
More?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Pete Carroll's going to need a jaw replacement the way he's hammering that gum. Then we went on to talk about who owns Man City in the Premier League.
Right.
And I had said it was the Saudis, and you said it wasn't. And you're pretty much right. It's owned by a football group, but the primary holder is the Abu Dhabi. So it's not the Saudis, right. But it not, is, not you know, Saudi adjacent.
Right. Yeah, I think there'd be more blowback, or I would have heard it mentioned recently, because obviously the Chelsea ownership was kicked out, because that was...
Russian.
That was Russian money.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of where money was coming from has been a big issue. By the way, the Sunday conclusion
oh, wow,
of
right?
the EPL was out of this
Something
world.
Else.
I was on the elliptical for 80 minutes because I'm like, I wanted to start sort of, I was like mid first half. And I said, well, you know, all this could be decided for, you know, before these games are over easily. So I wanted to get the workout started, but then it was not decided until the end.
So if you don't
know. But at all three levels, it was so cool. Now, the Championship League spot was pretty much decided right away. There was a Champions League spot available between Tottenham and Arsenal, and that was, Tottenham had to lose, Arsenal had to win, Tottenham won 5-0. That was a... And then there was at the bottom.
Yes, the bottom. But what most people paid attention to is what happened at the top, which is it was Man City and it's Liverpool, right?
Yes.
That were, and Liverpool had won their game. And so they were.
No, this was not the case.
Oh, okay.
We'll just correct you on that. In real time, what was happening is that Liverpool was down a point. So Man City, and they were each playing in pretty good teams. Aston Villa for...
They're playing like middle of the pack.
Mid-table.
Yeah.
and Wolverhampton was the opponent for Liverpool. Well, Man City is, it's 0-0, then they get down 1, then they get down 2. So they're down 2-0 in the 70-plus minutes.
So it's 10 or 15 minutes left in the game.
But Liverpool is only tied. In fact, they were behind 1-0. Then they tie it up early in the second half, and the second half is moving along, and Man City's losing, but Liverpool's only tied.
Yeah.
And if they had tied, Man City would have won on goal differential.
Oh, yeah, because that 1 point would have, yeah.
Right. So what it's looking like for a while is like Liverpool is going to end up just being ready to shoot themselves because Man City's going to lose and they're not going to win.
Uh-huh.
Well, before they got the goals, Liverpool did score 3 more goals, in fact. But before they scored the second one, Man City scored 3 goals in 5 minutes and won the Premier League.
For the fourth time in 5 years, right?
Yes. Now, the thing that's interesting but Liverpool had a chance to win the quadruple.
Yeah, to win the trifecta or whatever they call it.
Quadruple. 4 cups. The FA Cup. There's another cup there that's called the Carabao Cup or something.
Yeah, the Caribou Cup, yeah. Yeah,
sponsor's name. And then the Premier League and then the Champions League. Manchester City, if they had not won, they would have been trophy-less for the year, despite their dominance.
Yeah. So, well, still 4 in 5 years, it's getting a little out of control there.
Promotion, relegation, and it was Leeds that ended up being promoted. They looked like they were going to lose going into the last day because their goal differential was terrible, but Burnley lost. Leeds won under American Jesse Marsh.
Yes, and they just signed Aaronson to play for him, who is on the U.S. men's national team from Red Bull Salzburg, which is going to be super cool. Another American in the Premier League.
Right. And
starting in the midfield.
And I guess we'll stop the soccer talk here in a minute. But the promoted teams from the championship to the Premier League have several prominent American players.
Yeah, because that striker, the one striker that was on loan from Miami or something.
Huddersfield Town, I think, is being promoted, and Fulham's being promoted. So, anyway, there's your soccer primer for today. But it was very exciting, very exciting.
Yeah, if you don't understand it, watch it. It's great.
The analogy I made on my sports podcast on Monday was, just think if the Falcons were playing on the last Sunday of the...
Yep.
And if they lost, they had to go play in the USFL.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that pretty much...
There you go.
...describes it.
And God, that would be great.
It's never going to happen.
Here. I know it's not going to happen, Danny, but I keep holding out hope. Okay. On to the next fact, which is... What is this going on here? Oh. Okay. Okay, Danny. So you talked about growing up Catholic and how many kids or the Catholic kids around you,
right?
How many more kids there were in a Catholic family?
Yeah, that we had 6, and that was the least amount in our neighborhood.
So I found a study from 1968. Okay, and I found this on JSTOR, which is where you go. That's like where you go if you're writing an academic paper. Like this is from an academic publication. Okay.
And so this is not fake news.
Yes, and I read the synopsis.
Well, it's academic, so of course it's fake
news. Yeah, right. But it's from 1968, so, you know, it's when America was great. Anyway, the whole thing was on demographics and Catholics and population. And so you were correct. I mean, everybody knows that the stereotype is that Catholic families have more kids, right? But they did a study, and your generation, when you were growing up...
Right.
A Catholic family had on average 1 more child than a Protestant family, which is a lot because you have to take into account everybody who doesn't have kids and all of that, right? So 1 is really a big difference.
But it seems surprising it's only 1.
Yeah. I knew you were going to say that, but you have to like take into account the way statistics work. And
also Protestants, we were still in a time where even then, farming, for instance, was more of a...
You had to fire out some farmhands.
People wanted to have... more kids. Now, the interesting dynamic in our neighborhood is in the Boston area, there's hardly any Protestants. Everybody's either Catholic or there's a significant Jewish population. For instance, we used to get Jewish holidays off from school.
Yes, you've told me that.
And so in our neighborhood, which was a cul-de-sac of about probably 25 houses. There was a one street and then a little side street. Everyone was either Catholic or Jewish. And the Catholic families all had, as I said, either six or more children. And the Jewish families all had two. Two. I think one had three.
Well, this study was Catholics versus Protestants. Now, the other thing that I found interesting about this is your parents' generation, Catholic families only had 0.5 more children. So there was a bigger disparity when you were growing up than when your folks were growing up.
Well, there was a big boom, and maybe we've talked about this before. In my town, which was a significantly large, actually Framingham was the largest town in Massachusetts for a long time. It had a town form of government, but it had upwards of...
If you want to know the difference between city and town government, just go back to season one. Right. We covered it.
Right. But anyway, I went to a high school where I was right at the end of the baby boom.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a high school where we ended up having to do double sessions because the classes were so big.
Yep.
Freshmen and sophomores went in the afternoon. We went in the morning. Within 5 years, we only had one high school in the town instead of two, mm-hmm. and several junior high schools closed down because the birth rate had dropped that much after the baby boom.
Uh-huh. It's crazy. Amazing. Crazy to think about, right?
Apparently, we are up again as far as I saw this study today as having babies in America, but still down from pre-pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, and
up
which is
from
great.
Last year, but
there's
down.
Too many. You ever drive out south? There's too damn many people anyway.
No question.
Okay.
We're not farmers anymore, generally.
Right? Hiding in Plain Sight, you had said, is a movie. Ding, 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 you're correct. Yes. It is multiple movies and multiple books and multiple TV shows. There are a lot of things named Hiding in Plain Sight. But you're probably thinking of the 2012 movie where a family lives out of their car. It's like a feel-good story
right.
or something.
I probably am thinking about an older movie, but...
Oh, well, there were some older movies, too. Some 60s and 70s, there were a few, and then one really older than that.
Right.
Like back when you're...
So I didn't know there were that many.
Yeah, it's a very popular name. Okay, we also talked about... This is our last fact. We talked about... I mentioned...
That's good, because this delicious 23rd Street Brewery beer is almost gone.
I mentioned the Snake Saturday parade, because we were talking about North Kansas City.
Right.
Do you know about the Snake Saturday Parade?
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I don't really know the details.
So it's North Kansas City's claim to fame. It's the weekend before St. Patrick's Day, right? It's a party, Danny. I've only been once, but it is a party, okay? Those people know how to get down. So it started in 1983, and this is the funny part. It started as a promotion for Roadway Inn, okay?
Wow.
It had four floats, a grand marshal, and a co-founder whose name was Bill Grigsby.
Whoa.
Right? Bill Grigsby alert.
Parkville, isn't that what they ended up calling him? Or the mayor of Parkville? Both, probably.
Really? Because he was up in the Northland? He lived up in Parkville? I didn't know that. Yep. Well, when they did the first parade, it was only 10 degrees outside, and the parade only went through the parking lot of the Roadway Inn so that everybody staying there could just look out the window and look at these four floats, okay?
From humble beginnings.
Yes. So they had a best float or best participant award.
Right.
And it went to a young lady who was riding on the back of a Harley Davidson wearing only a bright green bikini in 10 degree weather. So that is where... I mean, not that long ago, 1983, as a promotion for a friggin' motel.
Wow.
Snake Saturday is born.
Next fact check as we close out this first segment. I don't remember seeing a Roadway Inn recently. I mean, certainly they're embedded in my memory of existing, but I don't know if... I wonder if Roadway Inn still exists.
If they do, they're probably one of them by-the-hour joints, you know?
Of what do you speak? All right, it's time to, you know, try to see if somebody can actually try and compete with the 23rd Street Brewery. I'm sure we'll have a fine beer, but we'll get to part two next in our second beer rating and a whole lot more right here.
More of Danny's Reasonably Irreverent podcast after this.
Danny here to dish, as it were, on the 23rd Street Brewery in Lawrence. A recent lunch with my friend Matt Llewellyn, the owner, just provided a reminder of what a great spot it is to visit when you are in Lawrence. I was on the go, so just had time for a simple salad and pretzel, and that was absolutely delicious. My wife had a more elaborate avocado salad with salmon on a separate visit, and she just raved about it. The 23rd Street Brewery can be that varied, with a great menu that rises far above standard bar fare. And of course, they also provide great atmosphere and brew their fantastic beers. It's a fabulous place to catch a game with a great array of TVs that are constantly updated. Matt and his friendly staff go out of their way to make your experience special. Fine food with a huge menu, great beers, and a great spot for fun with friends. The 23rd Street Brewery has it all. Make sure you do what I do and grab a growler or two to take home. The 23rd Street Brewery at 23rd and Castle in Lawrence. See you there. Weather extremes are the rule, not the exception these days, and that means you need a trusted ally in dealing with your home's heating and cooling needs. That's why you should trust your HVAC needs to my friends at Dillon's Heating and Cooling. Jeff Dillon and his experienced and dedicated crew take pride in treating you like family. Honesty, integrity, and expertise are their calling card, and great value is as well. Right now, Dillon's offers you whole home bypass humidifiers for $100 off, normally $549, now only $449 installed. Also right now, they offer an inline water filter for the humidifier for an additional $75, as well as a low $69 heating tune-up. The comfort of your home is a vital part of the quality of your life, and Dillon's is there for you every step of the way. Get more details and information at dillonsheatingandcooling.com or call them at 913-214-1343. That's dillonsheatingandcooling.com, 913-214-1343. As the slogan says, they'll treat you like family. It's time to tell you about a great opportunity to improve your retirement outlook by using the outstanding services of 401k USA. What the experts at 401k USA bring to you is an overlay of your current 401k plan that manages it in a far more proactive and responsive way. Too many retirement plans can be restrictive, but 401k USA brings far more flexibility to your plan to capitalize on opportunities and avoid downturns. It's simple and easy to find out much more about all the details on taking a close look at what the friendly experts at 401k USA can do for you. You can create more retirement wealth and a richer lifestyle by visiting 401kusa.org today or by texting to 816-844-6236. That's 401kusa.org or text to 816-844-6236. To find out much more.
If you'd like to join these and other great sponsors and market your business to a growing and engaged audience, contact us at danny@dannyklinkscale.com. Look forward to hearing from you.
Oh, yeah. In a symphony. See, we only had the one growler the first time, or what'd you call it? Crowler.
It's crowler.
Because it's a can. So, we taste tested a beer from the North Kansas City
Cinderblock.
Cinderblock. And it was
last time
it was a pedestrian okay Pilsner. Beer, Pilsner. Yeah. But we figured they probably make a wonderful product besides that. And so we wanted to give them another shot.
And they had six or seven different beers at the store.
So you look like you have the same one as me.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. It looked like when you turned the can it was a little green.
It is. So
the green stripe.
I know. First of all, we loved the label on that other one,
yes,
right?
It
looked great. And this, again, a A-plus on the artwork.
It's sort of morphs from, I don't know,
purplish
mauve to green as it goes around.
Isn't that cool?
Very cool. And this is called Hop Cuddle Hazy India Pale Ale.
And if you'll notice, see, their label, they don't have two labels on their label. They just have the one.
Right.
Right. So theirs is, you know, they're not picky about where their label is because the mouth opening on mine shows the barcode on the back.
Right.
And on yours, it's showing the logo.
Right. So you just want to spin the thing all the way around and get all your information. what you most want to do is drink the beer.
Sip.
And we're in a similar flavor profile, so this is a good.
Oh man, that's really good.
It's oh, that is
crispy,
good.
Crispy, bitey backside. Mm.
Oh, that is good. This just shows you how different and both good. These are both hazy IPAs.
Yeah, this one's a little more drinkable.
And this one isn't citrusy, and it's crisper and lighter.
Yes. It's got a crisp-like
but
snap, I think is what so you
just,
always say.
Just a little different. Mm. I probably, you know, if I'm going to say, they're both, we've had two great beers.
Yes.
If I'm going to say that I would drink one more, that would be the 23rd Street, but this is one that actually would be a good way to go from one to the other, because this is a little bit lighter.
Yeah, and you know
crisper.
I like it a little bit lighter. I like it a little less
right, this
hoppy.
Is, even though it's called Hop Cuddle, it's less.
Oh, we didn't even give the name.
No, I did.
It's called Hop Cuddle?
Yeah, Hop Cuddle Hazy India Pale Ale. That shows how much Joe listens to me speak.
I'm just waiting for my turn to talk, Danny.
And there you go. Well, that's a common failing for many. So anyway, this is, these it says crafted for life. So there you go.
That's what the other one said. I'm going to go 8-0.
I'm going to go 7-7.
Mm.
Very nice, high rating. Good on you, Cinder Block. I had faith that they that their other beer was not going to be their best.
I went into the beer store and I said, "Hey, I need beers for the podcast." And there's a guy that works at the beer store. He knows about the podcast, listens to the podcast, and he loves being like, "Here's what you should get in the Build a Six." And so we also had our other options were. There's a couple of beers from McPherson, Kansas, which is my old neck of the woods where I grew up. And he said McPherson, which is what everybody says if you're not from there. If you're from there, you say McPherson.
Right, because it's a common American malady, which I've probably talked about on this podcast before, that people who live in a certain community often mispronounce the name of their own city, which is their prerogative.
Yeah, it's their city. They can pronounce it however they want.
Everybody in America calls the city in upstate New York and the basketball university Syracuse. There, they call it Syracuse.
Like Sarah.
Like there's an E. And
that's just accent driven, isn't it?
People in Pennsylvania, especially in the Pittsburgh area, call it Pennsylvania.
Oh, really? Pennsylvania.
But also, here in Kansas City, many people refer to this community as Can City. Like it's the city of Can.
I say Kansas City. So I don't do the S. Kansas City.
Right.
You know, I'm guilty of that.
I think some people truncate it even more, like Can City. So
yes.
there's a lot of examples.
I've heard that. I've never thought of that. I've heard that.
I'm trying to think of another example. There's many examples of it, and it's just something that's, for instance,
I was meeting with some people that do doing a thing for my business, and they were talking about how they have this voice talent that is out of town, and so they will send something to them, and it'll come back, and it'll say Olathe, Kansas, right?
The thing that's amazing to me, well, you hear that a lot on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
That'll happen a lot, especially in this community. There's a lot of very strange, as it were. That's one example. You'll be driving in Olathe, and it'll say, end up ahead, whatever accent you
have,
take a right on Strange Line. But one thing, one dynamic that just popped into my head is that I live in Shawnee. Okay, and we call it Shawnee. Everybody calls it Shawnee.
Uh-huh.
But when you drive on the street in Shawnee, everybody calls it Shawnee Mission Parkway.
Uh-huh.
You do not call it
Shawnee
Mission Parkway.
It's Shawnee.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah, and I noticed it for the first time because of my phone.
Oh, my gosh. That's interesting.
Upcoming turn, because my phone is a British accent. My wife has an Australian man accent.
I have mine changed
Mine's
to Irish because I want to work on my Irish accent.
Yeah.
calling Samantha Lawrence. You know, how's that sounding? Sounding good?
Pretty good. But you need to put it in Scottish because I love that accent. Love the
yeah, like Johnny Russell?
I love Scottish accent. Yeah, and his is muted. Sometimes you'll be watching a movie or...
What's that show?
A soccer game.
Is it Peaky Blinders?
Right,
or?
Yes. And it's hard to... It's really kind
of... Oh, you got
to
have the subtitles on.
Right. Yes.
Oh, Danny. Speaking of movies, you know I'm a big fan of just shitty movies, right? Like, I love disaster films, right? So, like, San Andreas or... all the asteroid movies. I'm just a sucker for cheap thrill popcorn disaster movies. I want to see the Statue of Liberty floating by in a wave, right? Okay.
We differ on that.
So, we're going to watch family movie. And what we do in my household right. is everybody rotates, okay? It was my turn to pick the movie, okay?
You know, I'm going to just... You're in this little rotation here. You're somewhat in an educational position.
Uh-huh.
Why would you pick these crummy movies?
Well, no, here's the deal. It's a great question. So we have watched a ton of the classics with the kids, okay?
Okay.
They've seen, I mean, classic kid movies. The last movie we watched was Stand By Me with them.
Right.
Right, so which is a great...
Great movie.
Great film, right? You know, they've seen the Back to the Futures and, you know, all of those, the Goonies and most of the great old family films, and then also some great actual films we've watched with them. You know, Castaway, Forrest Gump, you know, stuff like that. Academy Award winning movies. But they're still young enough. It's not like we can watch Shawshank Redemption or
right.
something with them yet,
sure.
right? So you got to, like, pick and choose. But... This great-looking disaster movie called Moonfall, okay, came out a couple of months ago, and it's on video now. I was so confident I was going to like this. I didn't just rent it. I just bought it on the streaming service.
I can't wait.
It's only $8, it's only $8 more to buy it. Danny, it's maybe the worst movie I've ever seen.
I heard it was bad.
Danny, it is maybe the worst movie, now, which is saying something.
Now, who's in this one again? Because I heard it was terrible.
Oh, hell, I'm terrible with actors' names. But the premise of the movie, which apparently I later learned is a real conspiracy theory that people actually believe, and I may or may not work with a couple people that believe this conspiracy theory, okay?
Imagine.
The moon is a megastructure built by aliens, okay? That is actually a Dyson sphere. Do you know what a Dyson sphere is?
No.
It's a theoretical thing that a guy came up with way back when in the 60s, where theoretically you would build a giant structure around a collapsing star, and then you would draw the energy from that collapsing star to, you know, terraform this thing and make a world harnessing that energy, because you're literally making a sphere around the star. Does that make sense?
Now it sort of does.
Okay. That's a Dyson sphere. Anyway, it's talked a lot about in science fiction. Anyway, so the moon, Danny, is a giant Dyson sphere. Okay.
Okay.
And there are aliens in there, except they're not really in there. They're all dead because we are really the aliens. That's the twist. Hey, spoiler alert.
Apparently, you would feel no... No real reservation about spoiling this for people. Don't buy it, seems to be the general message.
So we're really the aliens. They seeded us here. It is absolutely terrible. There wasn't even that much disaster stuff that happened. There's like a couple of tidal waves and stuff, and that's it. I did make it through it. And when the movie was over, I stood up, and my mother-in-law was down, so she sat through it. And she loves old, good films like you do.
Right.
And I stood up and I turned the lights on here in the basement where we're at here that counts as our theater. And I looked at my family and I said, I need to apologize for that.
Now, give me an idea of, like, say, the last time your son was in the rotation and picked a movie. So what did he pick? Do you remember?
Oh, my goodness. What
or,
did he
just
pick
an
last
example
time?
Of what he would pick. Didn't have to be the last time.
I mean, we watched... He likes monster movies, so we watched, like, King Kong versus something or other, which was perfectly fine. It was an all right, you know, action flick. He likes action flicks, you know, so
right.
we'll usually go with something like that, and we'll kind of guide him, you know, be like,
right.
oh, you want an action movie, you know, have you ever seen, and, you know, some action movie that's actually good from back in the day,
right?
So we kind of, you know, help guide them towards
Movies you might be able to actually buy.
Yes, exactly, that we would like.
Right.
That's what we normally do. And then, you know, my daughter's starting to get to the point she kind of likes those romantic comedies, you know, so we'll throw...
Maybe I'll send you, because my wife sent it, I think I kept it, but I can look it up again. Vanity Fair, which is a fine magazine, I think their latest issue did the 33rd best romantic comedies of all time.
So I think we've done When Harry Met Sally, right? So that's obviously a...
Yes.
You know, and You've Got Mail, I think we've done that. Right. The thing is, those movies are so much tamer than today's movies. You can watch those movies with an 11 or 12-year-old.
Right.
Today's PG-13 is like... I mean, Moonfall was PG-13 and it had three F-bombs in it.
I think they said that Netflix has some... in this particular article, because has said that Netflix has somewhat revived the rom-com. I don't know if they... That's... Because I don't know. I think they had a couple Netflix things in there. I think we've mentioned this before, by the way. You've Got Mail is a remake of my favorite holiday movie, or one of my favorite holiday movies, which is a movie called Shop Around the Corner.
No, we have not. The bookstore.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, we did talk about this, right. Yeah.
It's not a bookstore in the original movie. It's a... trinket store, or, you know, general goods store, and Jimmy Stewart's in it. It's a wonderful movie.
Give me your best Jimmy Stewart impersonation right now.
I'm not good at Jimmy Stewart, especially if you're going to... I'm not good at Jimmy Stewart.
What is your best impersonation?
I'm trying to think. I'm not that much of a mimic. Usually it just kind of pops up in... If I'm sitting here trying to think about doing an impression, nothing really pops in.
But if you're telling a story about the Beatles, you could drop into a Beatles.
I might. not much. I'm not Curtis Seabolt, the wonderful mimic at Sports Radio 810. But sometimes I'll just drop into one. But I'm not going
to do it. Oh, Danny, it's so nice of you to mention me as a great mimic. I do have great accents. Thanks for asking.
Well, I liked your Irish accent. And I like that. 2 seconds of the Beatles.
Uh-huh.
Well, but I guess my mind was sort of more...
Yeah, it falls apart pretty quick.
Moving into Curtis Seabolt's...
Man, he's good.
...wide array of wonderful Carl Peterson.
Oh, is Carl Peterson so good?
But Bill Sill.
Uh-huh. That's pretty good, too. But Carl Peterson by far takes the cake. His Carl is so good.
It's very good.
If you were around as a sports fan when Carl Peterson was at his height of his power in this town...
Perfect.
I mean, just so good.
I have, you know, and everything you heard about Carl Peterson is pretty much true. I was in a restaurant.
Give
once.
Me a Carl Peterson story.
I was in a, what's the restaurant just off of the, it doesn't really matter, just off of the plaza that was next to, you know, the park with the fountain, and it's up the hill from there. And there was a music venue there, and there was a wonderful restaurant there. Anyway, side by side. And it was a very good restaurant for a long time. Doesn't matter what it is. Fancy restaurant. And I saw Carl Peterson treat the wait staff there so bad.
Really? And
just berate somebody about, you know, and threw out the...
Well, his food was too cold or something?
Whatever, too slow. And he threw the, do you know who I am?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, my God.
And then he actually knocked my cell phone out of my hand one time on purpose. It was the year that we were at River Falls.
Was this a brick phone or a flip phone? Or
it was a flip phone.
Okay.
It was the year that President Bush was running for re-election.
So it would be 2004?
Yes. And he came to River Falls. It was sort of like at the last minute. Improbably.
Bush did?
Yeah.
Huh.
He came to training camp.
Okay.
And it kind of happened like that day. You know, it wasn't like...
Wild. How close were you to G-Dub?
Oh, so you haven't heard this story?
No.
Many have, but if you haven't, this is good. So, and it's the same day that Carl Peterson knocked the phone out of my hand.
Which is the important part of the story, everybody.
No, this is better. The other part's better. So anyway, he knocked the phone out of my hand. We'll get that out of the way right now, because I had scheduled him to do an interview to talk about this one, you know, happy day at River Falls where the president was going to come, you know, last minute, really, the day before we didn't know he was coming. And so there was no controversy there, but Kevin Keatsman, who was the host of the show that I worked with, was had been hypercritical of Carl Peterson. They didn't like each other at all.
No, through the years. I remember.
And so I had get set to do this interview, and then I said, okay, we're ready to do the interview, 2:20, and I set to hand him the phone, and I said, you'll be speaking with, and I told him this, I said, you'll be speaking with Kevin Kietzman.
Uh-huh.
He knocks the cell phone out of my hand and says, I'm not doing this.
Oh my goodness.
Right out of my hand. But anyway, but this was a feel-good day. So all we were going to talk about is, you know, the President Bush is at the River Falls. Isn't this wonderful? So anyway, the president shows up, and he has a little scrum there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're gathered around, and it's just a feel-good pablum moment.
Yeah.
Where...
What is it you call it in a locker room when there's a lot of people asking a question?
Gangbang. So, but Dick Vermeil's there, and a few of the players are there, and they're just glad handing, and
uh-huh.
He's saying, well, I wish you good luck in 2004 and uh-huh. all this
yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I am on the air live, and I am talking about, hey, the president's right here.
There's no way I wasn't listening to this, by the way.
Right. And I said, the president's right here, and he's exchanging pleasantries with, let's try to get in closer here and hear what the president has to say.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm sort of inching my way in closer and holding the cell phone.
Uh-huh.
And the Secret Service man says, if you get one step closer with that thing, I'm going to shoot.
Jesus Christ. Really?
It's like, okay. I said, Kev, well, I think the live portion of this is over.
I think we're all good, buddy.
So that was a cool moment, actually.
That's fun. So you were 15 feet, 10 feet from?
Oh, I was 4 feet from the president, probably.
Wow. Is he a tall man?
No, not a tall man.
Yeah, he's short.
Smaller than me. Smaller than me. And I'm only 5'11"-ish. So
did he seem like he had all of his mental faculties about him?
He seemed like he had the same ones that you always saw. You know what he said? And he's always seemed like just a pleasant,
very
enough,
pleasant, jovial
pleasant,
guy.
Jovial.
I mean, other than all the war crimes, he's a great dude.
But anyway, that was a cool moment. And River Falls was a wonderful experience always.
Yeah. I would have had a chance to go up there. They always joked about that, the Copper Kettle or whatever restaurant.
Yes. And the thing is, if you didn't live through that, if you're younger, it just showed the mania of Chiefs fandom. Because I didn't understand it. They would draw, you know, and they did a lot of practices then. You'd have a more, at first it was like three a day.
Uh-huh.
But they'd have a real full morning practice, real full afternoon practice, full contact, scrimmaging. Yep. I mean, it was some football.
Yeah.
But thousands of Chiefs fans would go there, and they would vacation there.
Yeah, I know. It's always been like, hey, kids, get in the car. I know your friends get to go skiing or maybe go to the beach.
The lake.
Maybe. We're going to go watch football practice for a week. I mean, because let's just be honest, the folks that are driving up there, I mean, they're not
They're
getting multiple vacations a year, most likely, right?
No, this is probably their vacation. And
yeah.
I guess,
I would understand.
I guess the good part was that the kids probably liked football players.
Uh-huh.
Autographs were plentiful.
Yeah, and I understood it more back then. There was actual football, right?
Yeah, and you could go fishing, and
you weren't far from Minneapolis, right?
You could go to a Royals game,
right? Isn't it close to Minnesota?
Yeah, it's 20 minutes, maybe a little bit further.
And I would understand it more back then. I went to training camp a couple years ago, and it was lame. And I got to go down on the field. I had special access to get to go down on the field. I'm like 10 feet from the drills. And like that part of it, I was like, ooh, these are aliens. These guys,
yeah,
this is another species.
It's like being inside of a real NFL football game.
Which, I've never done that.
For the media, it was just it was like going to
summer camp.
But it was like hard work. So it was more like sort of boot camp fun, uh-huh. You know? There was
I'm sure you guys never had any beers in the motel parking lot, did you?
There was a lot of work. I mean, it was a lot of work because there were long practices, and a lot of times they went there because it wasn't as hot. But a lot of times there'd be an aberration and it would be hot. But the, you know, it took, we also had to send the sound in, you know, this is 2000, the times I did it, 2000 to 2009.
Uh-huh.
and technology really advanced during those, but but for a part of it, we'd have to send sound down there in like real time almost. You know, you'd like record it, and you'd have to, if you recorded 30 minutes of material, it took you 30 minutes to send it.
Oh, because you're, even then you're sending it digitally?
Yeah, you're sending it, you're not sending a file. You're just sending it down the line.
Oh, and gotcha.
They're, and they're recording it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You recorded it, you play it back, they record it.
Oh, interesting.
So that the part that was fun there is because your work is done, you're just feeding the sound down the line, and there'd be like 12, 14 media members just sitting there after a day at hot sun, big cooler there, telling stories, whatever.
It sounds like fun. What?
And then you went out to, you know, down the street, had Bose in mine, I think was the bar of choice for the fans or whatever. It's kind of switched a couple times. There were two or three main bars there. That was it. It was bigger than, there were more of that than you would anticipate because it was a college town.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So you've told me about the gentlemen's clubs that were nearby
outside,
there.
Yeah, outside of
Other than that, what's your favorite after hours River Falls story?
Well.
You did not think you were going to be talking about this today.
No, I didn't. There were some good ones that, you know, you didn't know that happened maybe after you left that you heard about. There were arrests.
Players.
Benign arrests. Yeah, well, Dante Hall, Andre Risen was Brock Middlesworth, I believe. He got arrested and he gave that name. I think it was Brock Middlesworth. It was Brock something. Middlesworth or Middleston. I don't know. I guess my favorite one that pops right into my head is kind of benign, really. One of the first times I was ever there, the day ended, we went to a bar, and there was my Monday Night Football preseason was going to be on. So we went to the bar, and we were going to sit there and drink some beers and watch some Monday Night Football, whatever. And so we go in, and it's 6:30-ish, maybe a little earlier. And two ladies walked in, it's Wisconsin, and they were bank executives, maybe, or maybe
professionals.
Professionals, dressed professionally. Lovely ladies. They sat down. They each ordered a pitcher of beer for themselves and cheese curds and watched the football game. That's a story. And then. Whatever the lady's name at, or the lady slash man at Copper Kettle, that was and it was a amorphous name, and now it's Pat. No, Pat? It wasn't Pat. No, it was a Pat type name.
Type name, yeah.
Oh God, I can't believe I can't remember her name.
I guarantee St. John remembers it.
No, absolutely, they've said it probably in the last few months.
What
may pop into my head before this is.
So we're talking early 2000s. This is before good beers were around all the time. What's Danny drinking at a local pub when it comes to beer in, well, say, 2002?
Probably there, it was probably Liney.
Liney?
Leinenkugel.
Oh, Leinenkugel, yeah.
Yeah, probably there.
That just was a standard light beer, Leinenkugel.
I mean, it was getting to the point where there was at least a slight, you know, my first fancy beer, I guess, was probably Blue Moon.
Uh-huh. So what are you drinking in the 90s?
Oh, cheap. And in the 80s, when I was, a struggling radio announcer, it was like this beer called Knickerbocker Lager. That's a good fact check. This is in Massachusetts. You could get a six-pack of Talls for a couple bucks. So I used to drink that.
And get like a pack case of Talls for
I still remember that.
A couple of nickels?
I bought a case of that, case of bottles of that. And I drove down to Hamilton, New York, which is where Colgate University is, and did a hockey game. And, you know, it's just that you didn't really think that much about locking your car in those days.
Okay.
And so I had a case of beer in the back seat of my car.
I see where this is going.
And this college student stole it. My beer stolen. So I come out after, you know, not that you do this after a hockey game and you got a 40-minute drive back to Utica, but I'm looking forward to having a roadie.
Yeah.
And I've got no Knickerbocker. and it's 11 o'clock and I'm toast, you know, so I always lock my car after that. Knickerbocker Natural, I think that's what it was called.
Knickerbocker Natural.
Yeah, maybe you should fact check that.
I will. And maybe, it sounds delicious.
And so anyway, the days of River Falls, for those of you who missed it, I don't understand why vacations were held there, but for the media it was fun, and there were a lot of stories that obviously came out of it.
I think they're going to move back to the practice facility here. I think St. Joe's going to go away.
I think,
away.
So too. And then probably a lot depends on if the Royals move out. So anyway, on those notes of reverie, it's time to so remember Knickerbocker Natural.
All over it. There, Clink Scale.
Come back for the fact check. Come back for the beers. Come back for the fun in 2 weeks right here.
We hope you enjoyed the latest Danny Clink Scale Reasonably Irreverent podcast. Come back soon for something fresh and new. This podcast was made possible by our great sponsors like Dillon's Heating and Cooling, treating you like family with expert and affordable HVAC services.